The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Good evening. We're glad to have you here. Let's look in our hymn books to number 588. My sins are gone. Let's stand as we sing number 588. My sins are gone.
Sea of God's forgetfulness. I know my sins are gone there, and this morning was they're buried in the depths of the deepest sea. What a wonderful thing to have your sins removed and to have God forget them. Praise God. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're thankful for the service we had this morning, the preaching on Jubilee, and the Lord has laid another message on our pastor. Please be open-hearted tonight to receive what God has for our hearts tonight, that we might yield to God more tonight than we were this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. John Kirkwood, would you open our service in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you that we're able to come and gather together here again tonight in your name. We ask that you will bless this offering to work here at home and our missionaries and support around the world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you. You may be seated.
everything going on in our world, I'm reminded of the verse that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that all may come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. And what a great God. He must be so long-suffering to put up with all this nonsense. What a great God we serve. I'm going to ask Daniel to go back to the piano and play How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. That was good. You know, we serve a great God. And in light, I'm going to change the hymn, fellas. 375 back there, 375. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the government decides. Amen. I'm still married to a woman. The government can't change that. They can't change what we believe. And so we can just say, it is well with my soul. Because God's still in control. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court of the United States says. Doesn't matter what our legislators say. God is still in control, and we'll just trust Him. Let's sing tonight, 375, It Is Well With My Soul. Let's stand together as we sing.
Never. Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost their way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You
blessing. If we could have the men now gather for the Lord's table as we sing number 599. Let's stand as we sing number 599, Constantly Abiding.
There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. A peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I know peace that lasts up there to stay. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine.
You may be seated.
Never heard that psalm before, and then one night we were doing favorites in Hamilton and Jennifer Rutherford requested it, and I've loved it ever since. What a great psalm that we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to know Him. As we come to our Lord's table tonight, we have many visitors here, and I want to thank you for coming. We appreciate you so much, and it's such a blessing to get to know new friends and meet old friends once again. And some have asked me, how do we practice the Lord's table? And I appreciate so much that you are sensitive to that. And so let me just share what the Scripture says with you tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'd like to turn there, you're more than welcome to. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." The Lord's table, if we read verses 23 through 26, we understand it's a memorial service. It's remembering the finished work of Calvary and what Jesus Christ has already done for us. So that gives us a hint as to the candidate who can take part in the Lord's table. It must be somebody that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You're looking back to the work that has already been accomplished in your life by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Then the Bible goes on and tells us how we are to administrate it. The Bible says in verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, who would honestly say tonight, "I would like to take the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner and stand in the wrath of God"? Boy, I wouldn't want to do that. And so the next verse says this, and here's where we land on these things. At Bethel Baptist Church, we've always practiced a close communion, which means we believe if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been scripturally baptized by water immersion, then you are welcome to take the cup. But the Bible gives us this disclaimer: "But let a man examine himself." Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It is not my job as a pastor to run up and down the aisles and say, "I've examined you and you're not found worthy." The Bible says you're to examine yourself. Now, that does not mean we take the Lord's table in a flippant manner. I believe it's very, very serious. We do not take it unworthily. We do not want to be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And so we will take a few minutes tonight in a time of prayer, and I'll encourage each and every one in this room to examine yourself before the Lord and make sure that we are taking in a worthy manner. Join me in prayer tonight, if you would, as we examine our hearts.
Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening at the Lord's Supper, just to remember that precious moment that you loved us so much, that you went to the cross, shed your blood, and your body was broken. Lord, we just thank you for that, the opportunity that we can know in our hearts without any doubt that if we accept you into our hearts, that we'll be with you someday in heaven. As we take of this wafer tonight, we do so in the remembrance of that body that was shed for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 21, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him. Even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation, honor and majesty as thou laid upon him.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Eat all of it.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we remember your precious, precious blood shed on Calvary's tree. For without your blood, there would be no remission of sins. And because of your blood, we are cleansed and washed of all sin and guiltiness. And we can stand before you, Lord, cleansed of all unrighteousness, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this precious gift you gave on Calvary's tree for us, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man a reproach among men, and despise of my people. Amen.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Drink all of it. The last part of the scripture there says, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's table is not just looking back, it's also looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we were reminded that at the Last Supper, as they finished, they sang a hymn before they went out into the Mount of Olives and prayed there together in the garden. So tonight, let's sing as we look forward to the coming of Christ. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. There's coming a day. Do we need the words or do we know it? Let's try it together.
There is coming a day when the What a day!
Good song. Now let's take our Bibles tonight, please. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Disregard the screen. It says the letter to Philemon. I had planned on preaching that, but the Lord has burdened my heart about something else tonight. So you know what that means, right? I don't know if we'll be 15 minutes or an hour in 15 minutes, just however the Lord leads. But this has been on my heart. While I was away, I wrote a little blog, an article. Some of you probably have seen it or read it. Of course, while we were on vacation, the United States of America, the Supreme Court, made the decision to legalize same-sex marriage in all 50 states. In 15 days, it'll be 10 years since Canada crossed that same bridge. July 20th, 2005, our courts and our legislatures felt that it was wise to also allow homosexual union and same-sex marriages across our land. And we wonder, in these days, are we seeing the end of times? It's very possible. It seems like, in my heart at least, that we are just on the brink. The Lord could come at any moment. And to that I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. What a wonderful thing. How many of you agree that the uppertaker is better than the undertaker? Amen? Well, if we could escape death, that would be wonderful if the Lord Jesus would come to reclaim his own. And the Bible tells us that this should not be a surprise. In Revelation chapter 3, many people believe that those seven churches of Asia, which we know to be literal churches, because John the Revelator wrote letters to them. You can't write a letter if there's not a literal church to write it to. But they also believe it represented different ages of church history, prophetically. And they often say that we are now in the Laodicean age. They can take those first six churches and kind of slot them into history and say, this period is represented very well by the church of Smyrna or the church of Philadelphia or those different churches. And they say that we are living in the Laodicean age. And to be honest with you, I don't know 100% if that is true. When it comes to prophecy, we are often just guessing. But I will say this. The word Laodicea means the justice for the people or the rights of the people. And I got to tell you, that's the day we're living in. God's word doesn't matter anymore. The rights of the people is all that matters. And if the Bible disagrees with the rights of the people, then it must be hate literature. Now, you understand I'm speaking from their perspective. I don't believe that at all. I believe the Word of God is more important than any other document that has ever been written. And we believe that if the Word of God disagrees with our lifestyle, then we are sinners. We are lost before a holy God. And we are needed of His mercy and His grace. But if we are honest about some things tonight, we need to understand that this liberty that we have enjoyed in Canada and in the United States and some other similar countries is really an aberration in history. For the most part, throughout the last 2,000 years, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have been greatly persecuted. It is that way in many countries of the world today. We knew and we believed with all of our hearts that if the Lord had taken us to West Africa, my wife and I discussed many times, it is very likely we'll only have 10 years before we'll be asked to leave because of the Muslims coming from the north. People in India are seeing their churches burnt to the ground, and I saw some pictures of some wonderful saints of God there sitting on stones the next Sunday from the rubble of their church. Christians are being beheaded in Syria just because they name the name of Christ. As ISIS comes through with the sword and tries to annihilate those people. What we have enjoyed in our country has been unusual when we talk about the history of the world. And sometimes I think we take it for granted. And the author Paul writes to Timothy and he says this. He says, this know also. I'm in chapter 3. Of 2 Timothy in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Friends, they're here. Is there any way that we can deny that? Our head must be stuck firmly in the sand if we don't see that perilous times are here. That we are living in the day and age that Paul has told Timothy about. Now, I believe that Paul was writing to Timothy and he was saying, I believe with all my heart, Paul thought the Lord was coming soon. I think if we read the authorship of the disciples throughout the Word of God, they all believe that Jesus was coming soon. But friend, I want to tell you tonight, I don't believe that we have ever been in the history of time where we can honestly say and look at fulfilled Scripture. The day of Pentecost has passed. We have seen prophecy after prophecy fulfilled right before our eyes. The Bible says, knowledge shall increase. It's incredible what we've seen in our lifetime. Now, I'm not that old. I'm 43 years old. I asked my Sunday school class this morning, grade 4, 5, and 6, and I said, do you guys know how old I am? And they guessed 42. I was pretty flattered, actually. That's pretty close. I thought they'd guess older than that. And so I began to talk to them. I'm only 43 years old, but do you know that when I was a child, there was no such thing as a microwave even? The kids are like, huh? We had a black and white TV. Every day I'd watch the Flintstones. You don't even know what that is. On black and white TV. And we didn't have phones that we could carry around. If you did, they came in a big suitcase with an antenna. How many of you ever had a car phone? It's amazing where technology has come. My wife, we have this kind of a standing joke. She'll say, well, I wonder. I'll say, just a minute, I'll Google it. I have information at my fingertips in 30 seconds flat. Who'd have ever thought that? Knowledge has exploded. It's incredible. Knowledge shall increase, and prophecy after prophecy in the Bible has been fulfilled. And the Bible says in the last days, and if there's ever an indicator that we're in the last days, it's this: perilous times shall come. Look at the characteristics in verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You ever been to Hollywood? Boy, I went there. I didn't want to go there, but we were on a tour and it took us there. And good night. People love themselves there. It's all about, we walked into a store. I'm not lying. My wife said, let's just look in here and see what these dresses are. And I said, okay. So we walked in this little store and I didn't know, but the street name, does this mean anything to you? Rodeo Drive? There's no dollar store on Rodeo Drive, do you understand? And so we walked into the store, and this little blouse, I mean, it was nothing to it, this little blouse, $1,700! People must really love themselves to spend that kind of money on a blouse. We saw a watch. I like watches. I always wear a watch. And I was looking at this watch, and my wife said, oh, that's a nice watch. Yeah, it's a nice watch. It ought to be for $53,000. Good night, you could buy a house down by the lake in Port Dover. 53. The Bible says men shall be lovers of themselves. How pious and arrogant must somebody be to spend that kind of money on a blouse or a watch? Now, I'm not against purchasing quality, something that will last, but we can get carried away. We see today that every time somebody gets their picture taken, they have to pose. We are in the selfie generation. Amen? The selfie generation. If I were to come around tonight and pick up your phone, we might find somebody that has 1,000 pictures of themselves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Perilous times shall come. The Bible goes on to say and gives us more characteristics. They should be covetous. Why are people in so much debt and in so much trouble? Because we want so much. We want what other people have, and so we're covetous. The Bible says boasters, proud. Here's one, blasphemers. I don't know if we were privileged, blessed, or disadvantaged to have been in the United States the last couple weeks, to be honest with you. Brendan is working in Chicago this summer, and he was talking to me, and he says, Dad, you know how Italian people will have like a section in a town, have a little Italian area, and the Chinese people have a little area, Chinatown, and he says, Chicago's like that. He says, it's a big city, and he says, so the Chinese people, they kind of like to live together in that area because they have all their little grocery stores, and he says, the Italian people, and he says, well, the Jewish people do that here too. He says, the Jewish people have a little section, and he says, there's synagogues, and there's temples, and there's schools everywhere, and he says, all these kids are coming, and he says, but you know what they've done in Chicago? And I said, what? And he says, the homosexuals have bought up a section. And he says, wouldn't you know that the day that the court ruling came down, that's the section we were door knocking in? He says, people were running naked in the streets. He says, I've never seen anything like it. It was absolutely crazy. He says, people were parading and dancing and kissing each other. And he says, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Right out, he says, if straight people walked around naked like that, they'd get arrested. But don't you dare say anything that they're doing anything wrong. They will call evil good and they will call good evil. But they're blasphemers against God. That's a characteristic of the last day. Then the Bible says they are disobedient to parents. Do I have a mom that'll say amen? That's a characteristic of the last day. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Now look at verse 3. If the last couple weeks tells us anything, without natural affection. You know, you might have been reading your Bible 50, 60 years ago, and I got some friends here from Stony Creek tonight, and I won't tell you how old Gary is, but Alistair's 88. And he told me, when did you get saved? You were 17? Mr. McKenzie? 18 years old on Father's Day, is that right? Father's Day. He lost his parents in a house fire. And then he got saved. So he always says, I lost my father one Father's Day, but I gained a Heavenly Father the next Father's Day. If I remember the story correctly. If you were reading the Bible, so that's been 60 years ago now that you've been saved. 70 years ago. Saved for 70 years. 70 years ago, reading this passage, when the Bible says without natural affection, you might not have given that much thought, but today we know what it means, don't we, folks? Without natural affection. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that the women would even leave that which is natural and burn with lust one toward another. That's not natural affection. That's a sign of these perilous times that we live in. I'm just trying to show you tonight that we are in the last days, that we are living in perilous times, and we can't stick our head in the sand, that we need to be aware that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, but He's not willing that any should perish, and we need to be telling others about Jesus because we are right smack dab in the middle of what is going on. Without natural affections, truce breakers. Did you ever handshake with somebody to make an agreement? You don't dare do that anymore, do you? You get lawyers involved, and you have 17 signatures, and you have witnesses, and you have, it has to be ironclad. Why? Because today people are truce breakers. That means they don't keep their word. You can't count on people to keep their word in this world anymore. Truce breakers, false accusers. Listen, folks, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They're going to accuse you of all kinds of things. Well, those Christians are so unloving. Boy, they don't love. We just love each other and we want to get married and we want to... No, we have a love for the Word of God. And because we love you, we have to tell you this. Unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hell. You need Jesus. How can we say that we love them and let them continue in their sin? We must love them by giving them Jesus Christ. And so they're false accusers that are incontinent. That means without self-control. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Boy, have we ever seen that lately. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Look at that next phrase in verse 4. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That means I'm putting my personal flesh above what God says is best for me. I never maybe understood it as much when I was a kid when my parents would say, no. Well, why not? Because I know what's best for you. Because I said so. But then when I grew up and I heard my mom and dad's voice coming out of my mouth and saying to my kids, because I know what's best for you. What I'm really saying is because I was a stupid 5-year-old too and I did dumb things. Trust me on this. I know I've gone down that path. You don't want to make that mistake. The Bible says that naturally we are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. God says, don't do it. We say, oh, but I want to. I don't care what you think, God. And God says, but I know better. I know what's best for you. We say, oh, but this feels good. This is love. This feels right. Folks, I just wanted to share those few verses to convince you of this fact tonight. We are living in perilous times. I don't know if the Lord will tarry his coming another 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, but at this I know that we have entered those last days. However long the Lord has decreed that those last days should be, we are in them now. Perilous times are here. And you say, well, then how are we to behave ourselves and how are we to respond to this? Look at the Bible says. Now, the Bible goes on and says so much more about the last days. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, they'll look like people that go to church, but they have no power, no Holy Spirit. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, look down and we see how the apostle directs Timothy. In verse 13 he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse. And if that's not enough, and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. You understand that these people that are in their sin, they are deceived. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews the deception of sin. They think they're doing fine. Hey, this feels good. We love one another. How could God be upset with this? God says that sin's an abomination. Sin sent his son to the cross of Calvary. Sin caused his blood to be shed. Sin is what sends us to hell. And God, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want us to die. But sin sends us to hell. God hates sin. And so he says to Timothy, it's only going to get worse. Friends, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. It's going to get worse. We have a liberty and a freedom that we enjoy right now, but it's going to erode. Do you know that moments within 3 hours after the Supreme Court ruling, and I know it's the United States, but you know how closely we're tied? Whatever happens there is going to happen here. You understand? 3 hours after the Supreme Court decided it was okay for same-sex marriages, a man walked into a marriage office with three women and said, I'd like a marriage license to marry all three of them. Oh, that's terrible. No, that's the decision they just made. You have destroyed and changed God's definition of marriage. You've redefined it. You've taken the word of God and said it's no longer relevant. And because of that, watch out for what comes next. Be careful. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. But here's what Paul says to Timothy, and here's our challenge for tonight. Verse 14 of chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's saying, don't change. Child of God, do you understand that the church has never, ever agreed with culture? That's the problem with our churches a lot of times today, is because we are so close to the world, they can't tell the difference. There's so much going on that looks like the world within the church, that when the church world comes in, they can't tell the difference. They can't see the difference. It looks just like the culture. I can't understand for the life of me churches that will engage in same-sex marriage, engage in immorality. Years ago, we were renting a church building, and I was in, after their service, I won't tell you what denomination it was, I picked up one of their bulletins, and I was just, oh, what's going on here today? And it said this, it says, we are excited about this Saturday's wedding of our youth pastor and his fiance. I thought, well, that's good. And I read a little bit further, and it says, they've been with us for 3 years, working with our young people. Oh, that's good. They have a 2-year-old child together. Went, what? You mean your youth pastor and his fiance are living together with a child, and you think that those are the people that should be teaching your young people? Hey, it's okay to go get pregnant. Go ahead. What is this world coming to? It's foolishness. The Bible says, continue. Don't change. Don't get like the world. Timothy, perilous times are coming. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The sentence does not end at verse 14. Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. Paul says, Timothy, here's what you've learned. The Word of God. Don't you change. Just continue. Keep going in the Word of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he assures them of this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you know that the Constitution of Canada was not given by inspiration of God? Do you know that the lawmakers that wrote out a piece of paper and says, yes, we're going to sign this bill that says it's okay to abort little babies, murder them in the womb? Do you know that's not the inspiration of God? We don't have to listen to that. We are to be assured of this: that from a child he has learned the Holy Scripture, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And then he says in chapter 4, I charge thee therefore, or because of all these truths, I charge thee, I challenge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Friends, this is not a time to get timid. This is not a time to back down. Well, I guess we've been beaten. There's no sense worrying about this anymore. We might as well just go to our little church and hide within the walls. You know, the disciples locked themselves in the upper room for fear of the Jews as well. The Holy Spirit came and busted the doors open and spilled out into the streets, and 3,000 were saved on that day of Pentecost. God doesn't want us cowering in a corner. Now, we are to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We are to speak the truth in love. But we ought to speak the truth. And we ought to preach the word. Be instant. That means to be consistent. In season and out of season. When it's popular and when it's not. Can I tell you this? It is sure easy to open up 2 Timothy chapter 3 and get up and rant and rave about these verses tonight because I'm in a room full of people that believe the Word of God. It's a lot harder when we have to go on the highways and hedges and preach it, isn't it? But we stand without excuse. We as the children of God, you know that we are to be salt and light. We are to be that salt that preserves the things of God in our nation. We are to do our very best to have our voice heard and to preach the Word of God, to be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap in themselves teachers, having itching ears. By the way, that time is also here. Several years ago, I was dealing with a fellow that he was married for about 40 years at that point. And his wife started to be suspicious of some things and found out that while he had been married for her for 40 years, he also had relationships with men. What a terrible thing, crazy thing. And so he found out that his wife had talked to me or something, I'm not sure, but he started drifting away from church, and I was still visiting with him and trying to talk to him, and he was going from this church to that church to this church to that church, and I guess because his wife had found out, he decided that he was going to just start looking around at different churches. And I said to him, I said, why are you going to all these churches? Well, I said, are you going to find a church? Are you looking for a church that will say what you are doing is okay? He said, that's exactly what I'm looking for. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. God help us if he ever found a church. But he did. There are those out there today to draw a crowd will preach a popular message. The message of God's word is not popular. It is contrary to the sins of this world. And they're not going to like to hear it, but the Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. The Bible says in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. That's what I think of when I hear all this nonsense. It's just a fable. That's just something they've made up to make themselves feel better. People will say, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. I'll say, why do you believe in heaven? Because the Bible says so. Well, the Bible talks about hell too. As a matter of fact, there's twice as many references in the Bible about hell than there are about heaven. I said, without the Bible, you'd have no idea of heaven. So we must believe hell as well. And they'll say, well, God loves me even though I'm in my sin. Oh, foolish one. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They turn themselves from God, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And here's his conclusion to them before he goes into the end of his letter. But watch thou in all things. Verse 5. The word watch there means to be aware of what's going on. Friends, I hope you understand that when you open up the newspaper, when you hear of these things coming down the pipe, we are to judge them in the light of God's word. We are living in those perilous days. Sometimes we read, oh, that doesn't mean anything. Oh, that's not a big deal. We're sticking our head in the sand. The Bible says, watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do you know that persecution is coming? The Bible says in verse 12 of chapter 3, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say you might, and doesn't say that if you lead the charge. It says if you just live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution for it. It's coming. And the Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 4, we are to watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. And here's what we are to do. Do the work of an evangelist. He said, what is the work of an evangelist? One who evangelizes. One who tells others about Jesus. Paul was so concerned that Timothy understood, hey, the last days are here and we are living in perilous times. Get out there and tell as many as you can about the saving love of Jesus Christ. That's our challenge tonight. Preach the word. Church, continue. Don't change. Don't let culture damage your convictions. Stand upon the rock of God's word. Plant yourself firmly in it. Listen, if there's ever been a time to read your Bibles, you need to be reading your Bibles. What does that old song say? You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. There was a song written back, you might have seen me up here feverishly writing during one of our hymns. There was a song written back in the 80s. It was one of my favorite songs when I was a teenager. It said this, the world may strip me of my freedom and bind me with their chains. Health may leave my body and be replaced with pain. They can come and take my treasure and cause my poverty, but they can't take it all away from me. They'll never throw away the rock on which I stand. They can't remove the cornerstone and cast it in the sea, for I am sheltered in the arms of God, guided by the unseen hand, and they can't take it all away from me. Friends, they may take everything we believe in, but they cannot take the Word of God out of your heart. Read it. Memorize it. Know it. Be ready to give an answer to every man. And may the Holy Spirit of God give us utterance of truth in this perilous times that we live. Let's pray together. Father, help us. Alert us, Lord, to these days that we live in. Lord, it's heartbreaking to see the decisions that our leaders are making. Many are men and women that call themselves Christians. And often they will compromise their convictions to please the people that they serve. Father, the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man. We're so afraid of offending everybody but God. So help us, Lord, to take our stand upon the Word of God. May Bethel Baptist Church never dip her colors. May we never change. May we faithfully proclaim God's Word as truth and make no apology for it. Father, help us, we pray. And Father, bless our invitation time, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and our eyes closed tonight. This last Wednesday, we celebrated Canada's birthday, Dominion Day. I think it'd be appropriate tonight for us to just take some time and pray for our country and pray for our prime minister and pray for our premiers and pray for our leaders and our mayors and counselors and all the rest. So let me encourage you during this time to pray. And would you pray also that we would stand for the truth in this perilous time. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. You may be seated for just a couple of announcements. Brother Paul, I'll just give a couple of announcements and we'll close in prayer. Don't forget there's a Vacation Bible School meeting following the service tonight. Brother Baker, where are you holding that? In the teenagers' room. If you're involved in Vacation Bible School, if you would head down to the teenagers' room, we'd appreciate that. Don't forget the help campaign coming up in just a couple weeks, July 13th through the 18th. If you're involved in that, please let us know right away and get signed up. Then we have our open air meeting, July 22nd through the 26th. So it's 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We'll have our open air meetings outside. The 25th is a day off. But on 26th, we'll have our morning service and then chicken on the grounds. Now, Brother Bruce Fry and I were talking this week on the Sunday morning. Let me encourage you, everybody be here. Now, we're going to do a joint Sunday school from our teens and up. Actually, maybe we even go younger than that. I think we'll go about grade 4 and up. And he's going to share during the Sunday school hour his testimony from when he was a child. Some of the things and the decisions he made that led him to be an alcoholic and all those different things that he got involved in. And then during the morning service, he's going to preach how God saved him from all that. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing his testimony and what God has done in his life. And so I think it'd be great for some of our younger kids to be in here and hear that even at a young age, we can make poor decisions that lead us on the wrong path. It's so important that we make good decisions. So come, for Brother Bruce Fry, you'll be blessed by him and his ministry of music. Brother Fry used to sing with the likes of Hank Williams Jr. and all those big Nashville stars on the stages. I have pictures of him singing with them, but now he sings for the Lord Jesus Christ. Writes beautiful songs that will be a real blessing to you. And so come for that week and for Chicken on the Grounds, and we're looking forward to a great time. Don't forget Camp Yes is coming up, 4 weeks of August. All the different ages are there for ages right through 7 through 19. And so if you'd like to go, sign up for your appropriate week. I guess that's all the announcements we need to make tonight. I was away this week, and I want to wish Mervyn and Curtin a happy 51st wedding anniversary. Are they here? I think they're here. There they are, okay. All right, happy anniversary, 51 years. Praise the Lord for that. All right, let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Good to have my friends here tonight from Stony Creek. Well, Brother McKenzie, would you lead us in a word of prayer, brother? Let's stand tonight and be dismissed.
Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your written word, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the message. We thank you, Heavenly Father, you generated within our hearts the desire to walk with you and walk for you. And so, Heavenly Father, teach us in all the ways to acknowledge you, to witness to you. Bless our pastor, Heavenly Father, continue to anoint him, continue to Heavenly Father, to have him preach your word, instant and season out of season. And so, Lord, bless us in your presence. Give us journeys, mercies, and free gravel. We praise you, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.